morning. Good morning. So wonderful to see so many gathered together at our church this morning, gathered together as the church for us to have a time of worship together. It is wonderful to see everyone here. If you are a guest with us or you have visited before and have never filled out a guest card, we would love to have a record of you being here. We talk about that each Sunday, and we would sure appreciate you giving us your information so we can contact you and continue to let you know how God is at work in our church, and we want you to be a part of that. A couple brief announcements to make sure we're all aware of things before we begin our worship service. For everyone that was involved in the Operation Christmas Child shoebox collection at Jonesboro Heights Baptist, that was phenomenal. We had a huge thank you by Donna, who was the lead in that, and we had a total of 14,000 shoeboxes that were collected to that one location, so that was outstanding to see our area come together like that. And as a little thank you, anyone that was involved, there's a little Christmas ornament on each side right here, and you'll see it's labeled correctly, and she brought that this past week to give to those who were able to help that past Monday. Also, a reminder, all RAs are going Angel Tree Christmas shopping, meeting in the Fellowship Hall right after service today. That is first grade through seniors, 12th grade, and we'll be back by 2 p.m., and that does include lunch as well. One other announcement, I would love to encourage everyone to be here tonight at 7 p.m. for FSYC. Very excited to hear how you all be leading us in worship, especially during the Christmas season, so we can continue to focus on Christ. And I know you're going to give us a little taste of that this morning as you lead us in worship. So are there any other announcements we have before we begin our service? Let's bow our heads and have a moment of prayer. God, we are so thankful to be gathered together as your church, Lord. It's amazing to know that you call us together, and when you do call us together, there is purpose behind that. God, may our worship this morning be purposeful. May it be intentional to give you praise and to be transformed by your love, allowing your Holy Spirit to guide us, to move us, to realize you are Lord of our life and calling us to extend your love to others as we come in contact with them this week. Prepare us for all that is before us, God, the challenges that lay ahead of us, the stress that may be evident with sickness, with family, the joys that are present, Lord, during this Christmas season. May we all celebrate it and come to you, and it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Now let us spend several moments preparing our hearts for worship.
The second Sunday of Advent is life. John 10:27-30. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. And I, the Father, are one. How exciting it is when a family hears they are expecting. A new life is about to be born and change that family from that day forward. The day the baby is born will be marked as the birth date of that new life and celebrated each year with the giving of gifts. Christmas is the time we mark the birth date of our Lord and Savior. We celebrate and give gifts as well. Our Advent reading this morning reminds us that we are the recipients of the greatest gift the world has ever been given, the gift of life that lasts forever. Eternal life is indeed the gift of Christmas. John said it well in the most famous verse in all of the gospel. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Today we light the second candle of Advent, the candle of life.
Page 77, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus.
Thank you.
It is so great always to see you all come down and be ready for our time together to see how God is going to teach us each and every Sunday morning. You all have amazing leaders and parents, by the way. I love seeing you coming with your worship bags. That's always exciting each and every week to know we're worshiping together. And this morning, we've got a question. Are you all ready for Christmas? Yeah, I thought so. I thought that would be a resounding yes. I actually asked that last week, and I know you'll probably be asked that question a whole lot more as Christmas gets closer. We talked about being prepared last week for Christmas, decorations and trees and presents and food and everything. We realized that all comes after focusing on Jesus Christ for Christmas, right? Well, I have a question that's a little different. This morning, I want to see if you can make, I want to make sure you can see what I have here. Everybody can see this? You see these two? Can you tell me what these two are right here? They're ornaments. You're right. They're Christmas ornaments. Lauren loves Dr. Seuss, and being an elementary school teacher, that's a little Cat in the Hat ornament. Can you see this one here? This is one of my favorite. I was in a live nativity when I was your age as a little shepherd, so I'm partial to shepherds, and it's two little sheep saying, "Wow, he's our shepherd," looking into the manger with baby Jesus there. I always thought that was really neat. And I want to see if you can see these right here. What are these? What kind of candles are they?
Birthday
candles. What do you think Christmas ornaments and birthday candles have in common?
Jesus.
Jesus, you're right. We're celebrating Jesus' birthday. That's exactly right. So maybe the better question for us to ask is, instead of are you ready for Christmas, are you ready to celebrate Jesus' birthday, right? Well, I'm excited about that. I really am. And last week we talked about John the Baptist and how he taught us and told people about Jesus before he was even born, before the first Christmas. And if you remember, John the Baptist is kind of an odd guy. If you read about him, you hear he wore camel's hair. He had a leather belt. He ate things called locusts. They're kind of like grasshoppers. Have y'all ever ate a grasshopper? Probably not on purpose, right? Okay. And he also ate wild honey, too. So he was kind of an odd guy. And he was telling everybody about Jesus going through the wilderness. Do you think people would listen to somebody like that? Well, they did. They listened to him, and they listened to him a lot. Let's read about that in Matthew chapter 3. There's a few verses here I want you to pay a special close attention to, okay? It says, "Now in these days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near.' For this is the one referred to by Isaiah, when it says, 'The voice of one is crying in the wilderness, making ready the way of the Lord, making his path straight.'" Now listen to how John the Baptist is described. John himself had a garment of camel's hair, he had a leather belt around his waist, and he ate food for locusts and wild honey, kind of like the grasshoppers. And listen to verse 11. "As for me," he said, "John, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is greater than I am, and I'm not even fit to tie his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." You see, John the Baptist was talking about Jesus. He was teaching people to repent. That means to turn away from their sin, because Jesus told everybody to repent and be forgiven for their sin. That's what Jesus does when he dies on the cross for us. And so this Christmas season, I want us to remember that when we celebrate Christmas and when we learn about John the Baptist teaching people to be ready for Jesus, the best way we can teach other people about Jesus is to tell them the real reason for Christmas, to celebrate Jesus' birth. Okay? So let's pray about this morning before you go to your children's church, all right? God, thank you so much for teaching us about your Son, Jesus Christ, and the way we're also always supposed to tell other people about him as well as we celebrate his birthday at Christmas time. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. All right. I'll see y'all next week.
As they are returning to their seats, let me add my word of welcome to you. We're so glad you're here. Good to see that number in Sunday school today, 174. A wonderful opportunity to come to that small group each Sunday and to study God's Word together. Let me invite you to look inside your bulletin at our prayer concerns, and there are several that I want us pay special attention to, and several I'd like to add to our prayer list today. One, I would ask you to remember my wife, who will be undergoing some outpatient surgery this Thursday, and then I'd also like to add Matt Johnson, who's going to be having a surgical procedure on the 18th. Want to keep him in our prayers. We have Jennifer Perry is on our prayer list. She also is going to be having some surgery. You'll note the name of Jack Riddle. And that Jack is expecting some surgery here soon, and we want to keep him in our prayers in a very special way. Then a couple of names I'd like to add. One is Ronnie Kane, who suffered a broken back. We're going to place him on our ongoing prayer list as he's still recuperating. And then I'd also like to add the family of Bobby Wood. That's Kayla McFarland's uncle, who passed away suddenly at age 45 this past week. And we want to be remembering that family in a very special way. Would you pray with me? God, we are indeed grateful for the birth of your Son, our Savior. And we worship you because you change everything. The power of that birth, that life, that death, and that resurrection has made eternity a reality, and life will never be the same. And faith in you can change our family, our work, our very being. And for that, we're grateful. And it is in the strong name of Jesus that we pray for others. And so we lift this list to you, O God, and ask that you would touch each person on it in a very special way. You know the need. And Lord, we pray for your power to manifest itself in each life. And now as we continue to worship you this day, in spirit and in truth, as we continue to lift your name above every name, and to give you thanks and praise and our very heart worship, we ask, O God, that you might receive our worship and receive us into your presence, that we might leave this place by your Holy Spirit's power, making us different. In Christ's name.
To the
Thank you, young people. FSYC. Always get those numbers mixed up. FSYC. 94, page 94, Angels from the Realms of Glory. Let's all stand and sing joyfully, all four.
Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for today and allowing you to come to your house. Father, we ask that you forgive us of our sins, and we thank you for the many blessings. We ask that you be with the youth choir tonight as they bring their program, and let them sing your praises so that they may lighten our hearts. We ask that you bless these offerings to further thy kingdoms. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And the people said, thank you, choir. Thank you, FSYC. We're excited about tonight. There are just a lot of people that are giving an awful lot of time to the glory of God to prepare to lead us in worship. And tonight's going to be another opportunity. I hope you'll take advantage of it. Your Christmas will be different. Your Christmas will be different if you worship as much as you possibly can. I just promise you, that's how God works. I invite you to open your Bibles to John's Gospel, the first chapter. We're going to read the first five verses. As we continue our text on God who was before creation, today we will acknowledge that He is the giver of life. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. If you're able, I'd invite you to stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's holy word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In our text, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. May God add His blessing to the reading and grant us understanding of His most holy word. Would you pray with me? God, would you speak to us for a moment this morning that we might understand that life, as it begins with a breath, is more than a breath. As we understand that life, as it is complicated, it is also simple. That life is what everyone desires. Grant us understanding to the gift Christ gave us at Christmas. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you. You may be seated. Let me invite you to open your hymn book to I Gave My Life for Thee, page 606. That will be our hymn of decision at the conclusion of our service, page 606. Life. Someone came up, I guess, after someone had coined the phrase, the game of life. Someone came up with a board game called Life. Living the good life. Jesus said in His great teaching on the Sermon on the Mount that life was more than what we had or even what we ate. It was more than the sustaining of the biological process we call life. He also said if anyone would lose his life, he'd gain it. That cuts against logic, doesn't it? And yet, through the eyes of faith, we begin to understand. I love the old fable and the silly story about the cow and the chicken and the pig. Seems that there was going to be a church function and there was going to be a covered dish meal after the church function. And the chicken said, you know, we ought to support that. I'd be glad to give a dozen eggs. And the cow said, oh yeah, we ought to be that. I'd be glad to give a couple of gallons of milk. Pig didn't say anything. Don't get ahead of me. The chicken, thinking maybe the pig hadn't heard, said, yeah, oh, I might even, with a little time, give two dozen eggs. And the cow said, yeah, with some time, I might give 2 gallons of milk. And the pig remained silent. Finally, through the glares of both the chicken and the cow, the pig finally replied, and he said a truth, didn't he? He said, "For y'all, that's a little sacrifice. For me, it's a total commitment." A total commitment. It wasn't losing their life to gain it. What was Jesus thinking? In him was life, and the life was the light of men, our text says. There's a difference between a little sacrifice and a total commitment, isn't there? I sometimes wonder if I'm more like the chicken and the cow in my walk with God. I'm willing to make a little sacrifice occasionally. But oh, to be a pig. That sounds weird, doesn't it? To be a pig, to give one's total self. Is that really what he means? Is that really the gospel message? Did Jesus really mean if anyone was going to come after him, they were to deny themselves and take up a cross? Hard to get a lot of people excited about volunteering for cross carrying. But today we look at one of the major themes of the whole gospel. He begins with life here in 1:4. And if you turn over to John 20:31, he ends with the gift of life. Life is God's greatest gift, isn't it? The second Sunday we've lighted the candle of Advent, and we've called it this year the candle of life. Well, very quickly this morning, let's look at three truths of what Christ does at Christmas. The first thing is, and John wants us to understand this, he is the life giver. He says that everything has been made through him, and without him, there is nary ere thing. Nothing. Nothing. He is the creator of all in all. You have to believe one of two things, and really, that's all you can believe. You have to believe that life is just a cosmic accident. And as I have said in sermons before, I think it takes more faith to believe that way. Or you have to believe that there is a design by a tremendous power, an intelligent power, if you will. And now let me leave the secular world and go to the sacred world. You have to believe either it just happened or there's a God. Where you start from matters. I like my new GPS. You know, when you put that thing up and it hits it, and you're trying to type in before, you know, I had to put in where I was and then where I was going. Now, my GPS says, from your location, it knows where I am. Now, that worries me in some ways. I understand that, and we don't want to get into all that. But at least it saves me when I'm trying to find somewhere to know that there's a place where I can get started from. Where are you going to start today? Where are you going to start Christmas from? Because where you start from matters. It really does. Where you start in life matters where you wind up. And what I would say to us as we worship today, the life giver, is that today is a day of starting. Today, in a very real way, could be the first Sunday of Advent. It could be the very first day for us to make some real life changing, some total commitment change, rather than a self-sacrificing, occasionally change. You see, the source of life is Christ. That's what he's saying. That life begins in him, that life was created by him, that in him is life. That's the foundational truth of our theology. If you take away that God created, we have nothing to stand on. And our theory is just like one of many. But if you start there, and then you come to John 1 and in this great gospel that says that Christ was with God in the beginning and He was God, He is God, then the Christian theology begins to change everything in our life. There are things that are beyond our mind, and I'm okay with that. Seems to me you have two choices, though, in this matter of creation. Either faith or ignorance. And I don't mean to be rude by that last statement, and I'm not even calling anyone ignorant by a negative name. But even those who have studied the life on a secular vein will come to a place where they say, we can go so far back, but we can't go any further. We don't know. And you and I start where we know. We start from the place that we believe that in the beginning was God. The gift of Christmas is that God has given us life, that God has given us all kinds of life. And to we who are believers, we who sit here today to worship the King, the Lord, the Master, the Savior, the ultimate sacrifice, we understand that in Him, when we lose ourselves in His presence, we find life. Not only is He the giver of life, but if you would, turn over with me to John chapter 10 for just a moment. John chapter 10, verse 10. And I want us to unpack very quickly one other word that John uses as he's describing. He says in verse 10 of chapter 10 of the Gospel of John, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. Do you know who the thief is today? Let me ask it another way. What steals your time? What steals your loyalty? What steals the very purpose sometimes of life? The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. Jesus said, I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. Abundant life. Not only is He the life giver, but He's the life goal, because don't we all want abundant life? Isn't that really what we all are after? Many marriages and families have been strained to the breaking point because we're seeking the abundant life and running ourselves ragged trying to find it. And never finding it. Now, there's nothing wrong with being busy. But it is a sin. It is a sin to try to find spiritual abundance in worldly things. I'm going to say that again. There's nothing wrong with being busy. But it is a sin to try to find spiritual abundance in worldly things. And it will tear up a family. It will destroy a life. Billy Graham said, the strongest principle of life and blessing lies in our choice. The strongest principle of life and blessing lie in our choices. Our life is the sum result of all the choices that we make. But consciously and unconsciously, if we can control the process of choosing. You ever said, I don't have a choice? I'd like to do different, but I just don't have a choice. Yeah, you do. Yeah, we do. We do have choices. In fact, that's all we have. It's one decision after another decision after another decision. Right now, the Holy Spirit is in this place. And we can decide to be preoccupied with something else, or we can focus all of our energy upon God's Spirit and say, God, speak to me. We have a choice. And should we choose to say, I'm too preoccupied for the Holy Spirit, then that choice will lead us down a path. And if we decide, Holy Spirit, speak to me, change my life. I want you to examine all, you the life giver. I want you to give me a different life. That will lead us down a different path. It's our choice. I like the last thing Billy said in that quote. He said, if you don't make a decision, then time will make it for you. Time will make it for you. Time will make it for you. Oh, the life goal is to have abundant life, isn't it? Well, wasn't Jesus right when he said, there is so much that will come and steal away from us our joy? It will steal away. I mean, you can become wild during Christmas time, can't you? It can be the most depressing. I bet there's someone here today that is struggling with Christmas because there are obligations that are upon us that we don't know how we're going to meet. You ever wondered why it pulls at our heart cord so long to think there might be a child that doesn't give as much or get as much for Christmas? And I'm so glad we make sure that doesn't happen in so many ways at Flat Springs. Thank you for doing that. But you know why that pulls at our... Part of that's the culture. The cultures decide that one day out of the year, everybody ought to be a kid at Christmas. Everybody ought to get what they want. Everybody ought to be blessed. Jesus said, be careful. Because even with the holy, someone can come and steal away. Can steal away what is most important. But the life giver says, I want to give you abundant life. You ever thought what a midlife crisis is? Anybody here having a midlife crisis tonight, today? Well, we're going to pray for you. Go ahead and raise your hand. Not a soul. Not a soul in a midlife crisis. Amen. Well, maybe. Maybe not. Some of us have midlife crisis at 65 and 70 and 80. You know what a midlife crisis is defined as? Getting to a place in life and looking back and seeing you're not where you thought you ought to be. That's why people do stupid stuff when they're having a midlife crisis, you know. They go out and spend money they don't have to impress people they don't like because they think that's what they're supposed to be doing. And they say, man, I should have been further in my job. I should have had a different situation. I should have more stuff now. And suddenly, oh my goodness, you see what we've done? You see what we've done? You understand what we've done? We've allowed the culture to tell us what life's supposed to be. And I don't know, maybe Jesus knew what he was talking about when he said the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And if the thief comes in and destroys your peace, oh my goodness, will you be a silly consumer then? If he destroys your peace. Jesus says, I want to come and give you an abundant life. Jesus is the right answer. Too many times we're asking the wrong question. Let me say that again. Jesus is the right answer. But too many times Gary McCullough is asking the wrong question. Today, if I invite the Holy Spirit to come to me, maybe he can change my question. God created us for a purpose. Clark Tanner in his book, The Dwelling of God, says, can you fathom this? The God of the universe, who holds all things together by the word of his power, who fills all things and is bigger than the universe, bigger than time, literally lives in you, calls you, God calls us, his dwelling place. What a magnificent creation we are. What high and wonderful privilege we have been given to be the house of the Holy Spirit of God. You're the house. I'm the house of the Holy Spirit of God. Wonder if the one who gave life could change Christmas if I understood that really like I need to. Finally, this morning, your Bibles, I hope, are still open to John's Gospel, the 10th chapter. I want us to see the gift. He said, I want to give you abundant life. And he's talking about right now. He's talking about living in this world abundantly. He's talking about living with peace that passes understanding. He's talking in verse 10 about living in joy and happiness. And if that's not enough, isn't that enough? Wouldn't that be enough just to live your whole life with a peace from God? But he's not through yet. There's verse 11. There's John chapter 10, verse 11. And it says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Life's gift is what Christ did, yes, at Bethlehem, but also on Golgotha, on the cross. The good shepherd. Interesting, as we said in business meeting this morning, in John chapter 7, we saw he understood about Bethlehem. Isn't it interesting here that one of the great illustrations that John uses to describe Jesus is that of a shepherd? I wonder if he remembered the story, I think he did, of the shepherds that are found in Luke's gospel. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And then in the text that the Reagans read for the lighting of our wreath, and he gives us eternal life. He gives us eternal life. The shepherd lays down his life. Christ died for us. Christ wasn't happy being the chicken and giving some eggs, or the cow and giving some milk. Greater love hath no man than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. The giver of life. The creator of life. The sustainer of life. Gave us. Gave me. Gave you. His life. He gave us his life. Wow. What a Christmas gift. What a Christmas gift. And what does the Holy Spirit say? What does the Holy Spirit of God say to us? There's an advertising jingle that says, the gift that keeps on giving. They got it wrong, but I know where that gift is. I know that gift. Repeat with me the last verse that we shared together in the lighting of the Advent wreath. But as you repeat it with me, ask the Holy Spirit what that verse means. And as we become a verbal choir and we say together John 3:16, remember that Christmas is about the gift of life. Before we do it, let's pray just a moment. God, we're coming to the conclusion of our worship today. And we're going to make a choice. A choice about how we leave this building and how we proceed with this Christmas season and the rest of our life. Hear us as we proclaim together the truth of your great love for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Would you say with me John 3:16? For God so loved the world. Blessed be the name. you pray with me? Oh, Lord, my heart is full because you love so much that not even the cross was too much for me. And now as I leave this building, I go out into a world that needs to know the cross was for them. That you loved them. That not only did you give them life when they were born, but you would give them eternal life. And they would never perish. Lord, may that message resonate in all I do this Christmas. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our hymn is page 606. And it is that great hymn that I gave my life for thee. This morning, as God's Spirit moves in the midst of his people, may we respond to him as we stand together and sing. Tonight, we'd love to invite you back at 7 o'clock to hear what God will continue to say about the gifts of Christmas as our FSYC lead us in worship. I hope you'll come and support them, but more important as that is, you'll come tonight and worship the giver of life. And now as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace, in God's power, and in God's abiding presence, that we might be his people in the midst of all his people. Would you pray with me? God, thank you for the gift of life. In Jesus' name, amen.